This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thank you.
There he goes. That's David B. Fleming, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app and broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Joe Shasky went long with Dave Fleming there, obviously, but you know what? It sets the tone for the season. I think that was important because the great thing about Dave, and yeah, it's Giants-centric. He could talk anything.
Yeah.
He could talk basketball. He's tapped into the Warriors. He's tapped into the San Francisco 49ers. Hell, we could have asked him about Brock Purdy and the plan. He's a Stanford guy, Stanford Pro Day yesterday. Yeah. John Lynch was out there. We've been talking about that. The polarizing players, because he talked about it. Cooper Flagg, he's going to be the next polarizing big guy that everyone's going to be gravitating towards.
Did you,
absolutely.
Did you know who the name was that I dropped? Rentaro?
No. Actually, I have heard of him for Stanford. Yes.
So he's a Japanese high schooler.
Japanese-born.
Yes, Japanese-born high school, excuse me. And he went to Stanford, and he's hitting bombs. He weighs like 280,
he's
300 pounds.
Yeah.
He's like the Zion of first baseman in terms of physical, like what he looks like. And he's hitting bombs. But he's a social media star. And people are like, is he going to live up to it? Like, that's the big thing, you know? Like, is the guy that you see on Instagram and all over TikTok and everything, making all these videos, could he really be as good as what we think he is?
He's 6'2", 275 pounds.
Yeah, I think he might weigh more. I mean, he really might.
God.
He hits tanks. He looks like Kyle Schwarber. But I think it's a relevant conversation because we're kind of talking about, like, Kuminga, and we're talking about Bryce Eldridge. We're talking about, you know...
He set the Japanese high school record with 140 home runs.
Yeah, he's like a superstar.
I don't sleep on it. Japan's had a lot of studs.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani being one of them.
Like Trey Lance. Like, I think we've gone down this path. Like, these guys aren't going to save your franchise.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of other players. Did Steph Curry save the Warriors all by himself?
No.
No, like,
it was Clay Thompson.
He's a huge part of it.
It was Draymond Green.
Yeah.
It was trading for
Ownership,
Andre Iguodala.
Making the big decision to bring in Steve Kerr, not trade away other players, bench David Lee, even though he was extremely valuable getting him to that point.
Yeah.
Like, there's layers to these things. So, like, Kuminga's not carrying the team. Okay, everyone, take a deep breath. Like, we got a text earlier, okay? The text was something to the effect of this. If Kuminga doesn't know how to set a good screen, then he can't help Steph. Really? Really? Is that, like, that's, are you a Warrior fan or are you just a Steph stan?
That, That's what it sounds like, because we've had this conversation for how many years when it came to one LeBron James? And we talked about it ad nauseum. You know what? If you're not helping LeBron, get him out of here. The LeBron fans, they do that all the time. And there's nothing wrong with being a fan of a player and wanting him to win a title and rooting for that player. But I do think we get bombarded with Stephen Curry fans more than Golden State Warrior fans. And that's where it becomes
blurs the conversation.
It does.
I would agree. And, yes. And to me, like the
because
top...
remember, and I go back to the LeBron, because remember it was the Heatles who was, it was never Chris Bosh.
It was Mario Chalmers.
It was Mario Chalmers.
Who was a young player who was just
drafted out of where? Memphis or whatever.
Hit big shots
or Kentucky, or where was Mario Chalmers playing? But yeah.
Kansas.
It was one of those teams. Kansas.
Second
round pick. But we were blaming Mario Chalmers for everything.
It's ridiculous.
Like, come on, man.
It's ridiculous. And so, like, the point about Bryce Eldridge that Dave was making is he's going to, like, obviously sell him low on us right now. Like, hey, I don't think he's going to play this year. It's probably the best move for the Giants. They sold us high on Marco Luciano, and I'm sure they all kind of regret that.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. Like, the Kuminga thing, I understand why the owner has a lot of confidence in him. Like, the owner has said some things about Jonathan Kuminga. Like, we really love Jonathan Kuminga. I don't think he's ever said, we think he's a superstar, has he? Or, as he said, like, we think he can be a star in this league. We think he can be. Maybe you don't want to say that. Like, right. But that's kind of who Joe Lacob is.
Well, he said Brandon Pajeski was going to be an all-star last year, so.
And that's not fair either. That's not fair either to the players. But we also have to know, like, everything that comes out of Joe's mouth is, you know, he's going to be a little more excited than
we are. He's like a fan. He's a fan. That's the owner. Like, but that's how I want my owners to be in a weird way. Like, to be an active fan of the team, engage that. And it's really cool that Joe Lacob comes to the studio here. He talks to you and Bonte.
You put a lot of pressure on a young player when you say those things.
He does.
When you say, like Jed, hey, Brock Purdy's going to reset the market, and then he has a down year, you're putting a lot of pressure on him.
That's fine, but you know what? I'd rather my owner say that about me than not say it. Like, okay. Matt Nahegan, when I got this position, he said, I believe in you. You know what? I think you're going to do great. I think you're going to be one of the best in the market. Like, he's putting a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's good. That means he believes in me.
Sure.
And I like that. As whatever, it's a sports talk radio host or a player, like, I appreciate that belief in me. And if I'm Brandon Pajeski, I have the owner's belief, like, that's great. What's up?
No, like, in this industry, like, I hate Shasky. He's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love your stuff. I agree with everything you say.
Exactly.
No one ever was like, he's okay.
Exactly.
That's what
you don't want. You don't want, like, people love me or hate me. That's exactly what I want. Speaking of love or hate, I love this guy more than I hate him. I don't really hate him much. It's Brian of Palo Alto,
who's been
very patient hanging on the phone lines. Brian, good morning
don't
to you, sir.
Don't come clunky like Kuminga.
No, he wants to talk JK. What's up, Brian?
What's up, buddy?
Good morning. Yeah, I think, you know, you talked about why is JK so polarizing, and I think the reason he's so polarizing is because he's sort of, you know, been the mascot of the second timeline, right? Mm. Of this sort of, like, Lacob's, you know, sort of obsession with the second timeline, and, you know, and I think when it went out, when Kuminga got hurt, that was still sort of a debate, right, about what is the commitment or focus to, and the Warriors were desperately searching for a second option, and obviously Kuminga was trying to fill that, but they weren't winning, right, and now everything's changed, right, so they committed to a timeline. It was the Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond timeline, and everything else will sort of slot in next to that. And so I think it's different now. I don't think Kuminga is going to get $35 million from the Warriors, and I think anyone smart that can sort of read the tea leaves would probably say the same thing, unless he just absolutely balls out over the next couple of months. I mean, it's almost an impossible position for him, by the way. I'm, like, cognizant of that, but, like, yeah, it's, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're probably still a piece away, and he's not that piece, in my opinion. I think Shasky, you evaluate him as a $7 million player, and I evaluate him as a $35 million player, the contract that he wants. And he does want that contract. We all know that. That's not mythical or hypothetical. That's what he wants. And so, yeah, that's my two cents. I just think, you know, I don't think he's a $35 million player. And he thinks he is. And, you know, like, maybe the Wizards or whoever, right? Not a lot of teams are going to have that kind of cap space. But I just don't think,
well, that's...
you know, hopefully we could sign and trade him and get you know, a stretch big or, you know, whatever that missing piece is. But he's just not that missing piece, right?
Well, here's what I would say to you, Brian. Part of what I think the Warriors did smartly this time as opposed to the last time with Jordan Poole is they couldn't come to an agreement that they felt was a good deal. And they said, all right, play the year out. Right? Play the year out, and at the end of the year, whoever tries to throw money at you, we have the opportunity to match that. And I think that's smart business. And then from there, when I finally get some concrete numbers, I can make a determination. It gives me the body of work of the playoffs, which we're going to get this year. And obviously baked into it is, hey, he missed 2 months, like, which sucks, right? And yeah, the team has dramatically changed. And so we'll see where they're at in 2 or 3 months, and then we can start discussing the finances and the money and everything. He didn't come to an agreement. We don't know the exact numbers. I know Brian thinks that he views himself a certain way. Dude, all these guys think that they're worth $50 million. That's part of what and how they get to that point.
Yes.
Brock Purdy thinks he's a $70 million quarterback.
They have an agent telling him that all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly.
Because the agent
that.
Wants to get paid first and foremost, but you start comparing it to other players. That's what you do.
Right. I don't think that, but he thinks that. I think there's, you know, a better number that they can come to agreement with.
I think you're worth $50 million a year, Brock. Just want to let you know that if you're listening. I believe in you.
Again, like, everyone's got their own self-worth, and then there's, you know, what the market dictates, and then there's reality, and then there's like, well, is it good value, right? There's like many different layers to this. I think that the Warriors have put themselves in actually a really good spot here. You get an opportunity to see JK with the version of the team that they're going to have for the next 2 years. And he's either going to earn or not earn the benefit of the doubt, or the money that might be coming to him, either from this team or elsewhere. And we'll make all those determinations at the end of the year. But I don't think that's exclusive to him. I think TJD, I think Looney, I think GP2, I think a lot of guys whose either contract is up or has a good salary that can be moved and stapled with other things. All of these guys, like, everyone's auditioning. Everyone.
The Jimmy Butler
except
trade.
Dre, Jimmy, and Steph.
Well, let's revisit. Come summertime, how things end here in the season, it's going to dictate a lot what happens. Like Brian was alluding to, like, what if JK goes crazy the last 2 months? Andrew Wiggins did.
I know.
You know what happened with Andrew Wiggins?
And they rewarded him with a contract.
They rewarded him with a contract. So, like, I know it sounds crazy, and he even said it, Brian, and I love Brian of Palo Alto. And I think Brian actually does speak for a good portion of the fan base at times, whether you think it's ridiculous or not. But he speaks for a lot of people when they say, like, you know, the two timeline thing. I don't think there's two timelines anymore, quite frankly.
No, they're one.
It's just one timeline at this point. But what Brian was saying, he thinks he's representative of a second timeline, and that ownership and Joe Lacob, he views this thing as his legacy after Stephen Curry, and he's viewing that, well, not to the same of, like, you know, who's my guy in Chicago? The Jerry Krauses of the world. He had a second timeline post Jordan, and they were all going to be in on that second timeline, and they all knew the last dance. This was it, and they're pivoting to this whole different direction. I don't think it's that at all. But I do think there are a portion of fans saying, like, no, we can't be paying this guy to the future. Let's rip this bandaid off. Let's go all in on this next season with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. Where I would caution saying that is, again, I don't know what's going to be out there this summer. I don't know if there's another player, given the age and given the upside of a Jonathan Kuminga, that you're even going to get back. Are you going to just go rip the bandaid off and go get like a 35-year-old and just go double down on age? Well, is that the smart move?
But it has to be via a sign and trade, right? Because you're
exactly.
flying over the cap.
But
there's also this element, which...
Age is a factor here for me, Joe Shasky.
No,
that's a huge factor
but
in
there's
this.
Another factor that everyone's kind of like underselling. We thought the market was more robust last offseason, and I think Klay Thompson found out it was not. I think... Caldwell Anthony Pope found out it was not. I think Malik Monk found out it was.
Kontavious Caldwell Pope.
What did I say?
Caldwell Anthony Pope.
Yeah, my bad, my
that
bad.
That was
bad.
A good one.
Kontavious Caldwell Pope found out it was not as robust. Malik Monk found out it was not as robust. Like, guys signed well below what we thought they were going to get. So I know we think Jonathan Kuminga can get, I'm just throwing the Wizards to throw him $35 million a year. We'll see.
There's a contract I keep looking at, which is...
We'll see.
There's a contract I keep looking at, Joe Chesky, not to cut you off, and you brought it up to me. Austin Reaves with the Lakers...
He's one of the best bangs for the buck.
He's their second best player right now since LeBron's been out. He's making $12 million a year. He signed a four-year, $53 million contract. You think Kuminga's doing that, 4 years, $53 million?
No.
No. And who are you taking right now on your team?
Austin Reaves.
But it was a conversation just a year ago, I think... Where you could have a legitimate, like, who would you rather have, Jonathan Kuminga or Austin Reaves?
Look at Moody. Moody signed his deal at the beginning of this year. I think if he would have waited till the end of the year, mm-hmm. he'd probably get a couple more bucks.
Good point.
Right? So it's all about timing, you know, how well you're playing, the form, who likes you. There's a lot that's baked into it. So that's why I would tell everyone, I know you're all counting the money for Kuminga. Let's let it play out. Let's let the season play out. Let's see how he plays, see how the team plays. Let's see how other teams view him, and we'll go from there.
888-957-9570. We're going to put a bow on this conversation on the other side. Plus, there's some rules potentially being proposed here. New rules, not Bill Maher, but new rule in the NFL, Joe Shasky, that I want to get your thoughts on. There's going to be some league proposals here with the NFL owners meetings happening shortly. Get your thoughts on that. Plus, take a look around March Madness as it starts the round of 64. I think it's starting in a couple minutes officially here with a game starting. I think Louisville's playing whoever, but it's going to be all day long. I'm excited for it. We talked about it a little bit with Dave Fleming. If you missed any of that interview, Dave Fleming, voice of the San Francisco Giants, also works for ESPN, talks a lot of college basketball, talked Warriors with Dave. If you missed any of that, it was a great conversation. Find it on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. All that's coming up next, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
California, and it's plain to see, can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Stop Oreo cookie.
Unit. I had to, like, over-accentuate it.
Got to be careful there. You sound like Jimmy from South Park. Cooler than a fool.
I was not going in that direction, my bad.
Dalek and Cloud, Charlie Brown. Spadoni, Chasky, Laughing Monk Studios. We got a lot to get into still today. We got 40 minutes to do it because we got Steiny and Goop coming up at the top of the hour. But we only just scratched the surface, Joe Chasky, on the Jonathan Kuminga conversation that I think is going to be, it's going to be on the table for the next couple months because this team's going to be a playoff team. I'm very confident in that. I know they're only got a one-game lead over the seventh seed over the Clippers. It's going to be a fun race. I do believe they are going to be a playoff team at the end of the day, though. And when it comes down to these series, there's going to be moments where Steph might not have it, Jimmy might not have it. Who's going to step up? And I think Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to be that guy in some of these series, or a series, if they even get through one, to deliver. Now, I understand if he has a bad game here or there, fans are going to get frustrated because they just want the instant gratification. He's not allowed to have a bad game. He's not allowed to have two bad games in a row or three in a row.
Who is allowed to have a bad game? I want to make sure we're clear on
Steph,
this.
Steph, he's allowed to have bad games.
All right.
Yeah, he's allowed
to. Looney's had about like four bad games in a row.
Yeah, but he's won some titles. It's Kevon. It's Loon Dog. He has a nickname. He's cool. Air Congo, yeah, but it's Loon Dog. All right, let's back him off. Moses Moody, who did not have a
Kuminga
great...
Kuminga does have a title.
He does, yeah, but did he really?
He played a little, very, very sparingly.
So does James Wiseman. He has a title, too.
Well, no, James Wiseman was hurt that entire year and was rehabbing. Like, Bielitsa didn't play for months, and had a couple of moments, and yes, he won a title as well. So we have to be somewhat fair with this.
Okay, sure. He has a ring, fine. That being said, you know, we're talking about what makes him polarizing to a fan base, and you know, you've mentioned and we've mentioned and talked about just the Steph fans versus Warrior fans and, you know, finding a scapegoat or just the patience level overall. And I think that's ultimately where it comes back to is just our patience level with young athletes just being so out of control. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the time we're living in with social media and instant gratification. Everything has to be now. Like, my 5-year-old can't handle ads. My 5-year-old is like, Dad, can you skip the ads on something? Like, ads.
I'm kind of with him on that.
We don't even... you called them commercials back in the day. We're just going ads.
Well, they're awful on YouTube. When you're like going to show someone something, you're like, oh, check this out. And you go like, oh, God damn it. Yeah. Just wait for this ad and I'll show you.
They have YouTube Kids, which I don't give to Benny anymore because that was the thing. But YouTube Kids ads on there, and it's just, you know, there's toy commercials.
Well, Miss Rachel's cooking.
Miss Rachel, yeah, sure. And she didn't have any ads for a long time, and now, you know, she's...
Well, when you partner up with Elmo.
Well, she's...
I mean, when Elmo's doing duets with you.
I love me some Miss Rachel. She's on Netflix now, too. So, just stay off
Miss
Rachel.
I didn't know that was her husband.
Yeah, the guy that sings in the... Yeah, that's her husband. Yeah. And by the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff.
Yeah, we're on to Bluey right now.
Bluey's good.
Yeah, I love Bluey.
They're based out of Australia.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the dad. I'm a little out on Bluey at times because they humor the kids way too much. Like.
What do you mean?
They humor them too much. Like they get the neighbors in on the jokes all the time. With like they're playing out of control. They pretend to be other animals even though they're dogs. Like,
okay.
I don't know.
Hey, look, I just started dipping my toe into this Bluey thing.
You're gonna figure it out.
I'm not indoctrinated as deep as you are.
No, I'm very indoctrinated.
Yeah, you're like Inception levels deep there, Leonardo.
It's the Heeler family. They're all different dogs. If you're just joining us, yeah, Bluey, it's a thing. It's been a thing for a while, and I don't know how I feel about it these days. They're gonna have a Bluey movie, by the way. I do know that. That has been announced. So get ready to take baby LJ to the movie theater in maybe a couple years or so. You don't start taking them until they're like four or five, really, because they'll start running around all over the place. Steve Kerr.
I can't remember the last movie I
really
to go see in the theater.
Like in the theater?
I can't remember. And I loved going to the movie theater.
Probably a Marvel one, maybe. Like Endgame?
Since COVID, I don't think I've been to a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Endgame was before.
I'll just pay the $20 and have it on my TV.
I think Avengers Endgame was like 2019, like right before.
I didn't see it in the theaters.
Oh, you didn't? Star Wars?
Star Wars was one I saw, absolutely.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Was that after COVID, though?
Rise of Skywalker came out right, like, literally right before it started popping up in Wuhan.
Yeah, so tip...
popping off in Wuhan.
Popping up in Wuhan.
Oh, okay.
That's when the... Popping up. Let's Sam, take it easy
are,
now.
You are a grab bag of funny.
Popping up.
I mean, my God.
It's okay. Steve Kerr.
Popping off in Wuhan.
Said popping up.
It's popping up.
Okay, guys.
When you say Wuhan, I think of Wu-Tang. And like I'm thinking like Do we get the Method Man out here? What are we going on?
I think of Dave Chappelle, the racial draft, and then just the Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
If we're doing a Wu-Tang draft, I'm taking Ghostface over everyone.
I just like the name Inspector Deck. So.
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay.
Most people are going to go Method Man, and I'm telling you, for me, it's Ghostface.
Okay.
Don't live here anymore.
What about Steve Kerr?
Gotta have an eagle on your arm.
What do you think about one Steve Kerr speaking to Willard and Dibbs yesterday? You're locked in every week to Steve Kerr, right?
Yeah. Enter the 36 chambers.
Here's what he had to say in regards to Jonathan Kuminga. And a lot of people had some thoughts on him not closing the game against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think if you look at our team right now, we have a lot of options to close games. I mean, the three guys who are going to be automatic are Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. They're going to be out there every game. The other two slots, look, BP was amazing last night. He deserved to be out there. Gary Payton, he has been playing incredible basketball the last couple weeks, and we needed him on Damian Lillard. So he was the obvious choice last night. Buddy Hield played big minutes down the stretch in that game. It could be Moses. Buddy and Moses we need for the shooting. Quentin Post played big minutes in the fourth quarter. If we want to space the floor with our five-man to create the spacing that Jimmy needs, then Quentin makes sense. And then J.K. fits in there as well, the athleticism, the switching. If the matchups lead to that decision, then J.K. will be out there like he was against Denver down the stretch. So we've got a lot of options, but I can tell you right now that it's going to be somebody different each night depending on how the game's going.
And Steve Kerr's been pretty consistent with that.
Closer by committee.
A little bit. But again, not to that extent of like the Giants and Gabe Kapler and Farhan Zaidi. But there's a little bit of just on given matchups, and that changes in the ebb and flow of a given series. Again, fast-forwarding to when they actually have to play a playoff team in a playoff series. Like that, the ebb and flows of a given series. Like it might be a Kevon Looney game, or it might be a Trace Jackson Davis, or a Quentin Post. Depending on matchups, we're going to see that going forward here. And I think we got to be careful of just saying each and every game, it's like, oh, I don't know that he didn't close this one. Oh, but he closed this one. Like, let's wait until an actual series before we get the whole painted picture of what we're going to see from a Jonathan Kuminga on a given night. Like, I'm here with Steve Kerr, and there's also an element of just easing him back from an ankle injury with all this, right? Like, we're not playing him 40 minutes. We're not doing that. Like, that's going to be horrible for his health going forward, too. So picking and choosing the spots and being smart about it, I trust Steve Kerr when it comes to that. I do. And I think he's earned that benefit of the doubt. Absolutely.
They got to just keep winning. I think when last year they were win, lose, win, lose,
and that was a big bounce back win for them.
No, but I'm saying last year, the reason I think we obsessed over the closing lineups, because they lost a lot.
Yeah.
The
clutch games, like, right?
All of them. It feels like now they're winning. And so
they couldn't be good teams. Like, the teams over 500, the stat was horrible last year.
You know, like, Clay didn't want to sit on the bench at the end of games. I get it. But, like, that was really tough. It just was.
It was tough watching him getting hunted on defense, too.
So all these guys want to close, And I think as long as you win series, everyone will just keep quiet. Once you start losing these games, that's when people are like, oh, well, you should have gone to me. And I get them wanting to feel that way. It's really difficult. They do have a lot of specific, like, GP2 is a very specific, I don't want to call him a specialist, because I think it's diminishing some of the things he brings to the table. But he's a very specific player.
He's a tenacious defender who has some hops and can knock down the occasional three ball.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
That's a good player. That's a player you need in the playoffs.
And can finish around the rim.
Yes.
And obviously can mask some of the things that Steph can't.
No pun intended with the mask. So
yes. Quentin Post, there's going to be a time and a place where he might close. What if Draymond's in foul trouble?
Mm-hmm.
And you need a big, yes, space the floor.
It was nice to see him have a good bounce back performance after only playing 8 minutes against Denver.
Moses Moody, hey, we need to get some more shooting out there. Buddy Hield, we need to get some more shooting out there. I think there's a lot of guys that throw their hands into the mix here. And I think it gives them the word that everyone hates, which is optionality, which at times actually makes it more difficult for a coach.
What I've seen,
because you start second guessing every decision.
Correct. Not to cut you off there. What I've seen, what I still like though with Jonathan Kuminga, albeit he hasn't really like shot the ball very well, he is getting to the line and putting the other team and getting them to foul him. Like that is something is an element we've obviously seen with Jimmy Butler, and he's been able to do that to great success. But specifically with JK, because he was the only other guy really doing that outside of Wiggins. Prior to his injury and prior to the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, and he's continuing to do that. And He made all of his free throws. Like, that is something, again, it's like, oh, wow, we're going all the way to the free throws.
No,
like,
no,
that's important. That's important.
Yeah.
Especially in tight games when they miss. How many free throws did they miss against the Denver Nuggets the game prior?
9, 10, 11.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to scoff at something like that, and that's something he needs to continue to do if his shot's not going there. And we see that ad nauseum with Jimmy Butler now. The difference between Jimmy and JK is infinitely different when it comes to defense, when it comes to playmaking. I get that. But, you know, we're not knocking Jimmy for not making a lot of his shots, although he was 6-13, a much better shooting performance percentage-wise for him in a win against Milwaukee. But, you know, we love Jimmy because he gets to the line. And he gets the assist numbers, and he gets the rebounds, and he does the right thing, and he limits the turnovers. Although, again, he had 5 turnovers the other day, but he was incredible.
Was that
the best Jimmy Butler game, real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easily.
And I don't even think it was but a little sliver of what playoff Jimmy can
yes.
be. You know,
no Steph, they needed that.
To me, it was the methodical way that they attacked with 8 minutes to go. Yeah. They took their time instead of doing that frenetic, you know, just chucking, which yep. drives me nuts. I think with their rotations tonight, if it's full strength, I think you're going to get way more Jimmy Butler Kuminga overlapping, and I bet you we have a big Jonathan Kuminga game today.
Ooh, I like that.
Because I think Pods being back in the mix kind of puts Jimmy back in a different rotation, because they were using Jimmy as the second ball handler with no Pajemski on the floor, and I don't think that is a sustainable thing. And I think you're going to see Pods and Jimmy overlap a little more. And I think it's going to open the floor up for Jonathan Kuminga. I actually think tonight's a big night for him.
I'm very curious to see how these next, you know, couple weeks, couple months here shake out. Because I know what I'm going to get. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to get from Stephen Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green. Those are our championship mindsets, championship caliber players. Draymond Green, I'm not calling him the DPOY like some of you are. He's playing like a DPOY, and he's playing very well. What am I going to be getting from Moody? What am I going to be getting from Post? What am I going to be getting from JK, Brandon Pajemski, Gary Payton, Buddy Hield? There's a lot of question marks there. That's going to be the key. Now, I've seen Gary Payton win a title and be a big piece of a championship type of run. I've seen Moses Moody have a cup of coffee a little bit in a championship run. Even, you know, you mentioned JK, a cup of coffee, if you will. But I'm going to be relying on Buddy Hield. I'm going to be relying even more now on JK and Moses, who's been in the starting lineup, and all they do is win when he's in the starting lineup, basically. Quentin Post, I mean, this guy's a rookie. Like, are we sure when I start naming all those names, like, those are the players you're going to have to rely on? Are we, like, does that give you a little pause, Joe Shasky, about the team winning a title this year? Does that, like, or going on a championship type of run? Does that concern you at all when I shake it out like that?
How many teams are 9 deep?
Well, you say the depth there, but they're also very young when it comes to the playoff inexperience. Like, say what you will about the Boston Celtics. Like, they got to the mountaintop and lost, and they got there, and they kept losing. And then they finally got the right formula and players and veterans.
Well, they're
and
all in their prime.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They have very few younger players.
That's why I question the Cavs still a little bit. That's why I question the Oklahoma City Thunder a little bit, right? Like, I need to see it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys, like, you know, case in point, like Austin Reeves, who you referenced earlier. Yeah. He's only had a couple of playoff runs. It's not like he's some battle-tested playoff gladiator.
No, they got to a conference finals.
You know what I mean? Like, though he has been impressive. Yes. And then I look at other teams like Memphis. Part of why I dismiss him is we've got more playoff pedigree with one guy, Draymond Green, then it like feels like their entire team, you know. And OKC, we'll see how those role players play on the road.
Yeah,
you know, like that's
what I'll say. The difference is between some of those other teams is their superstars are younger, much younger than yours. So the minute allocation is going to be way different, and the wear and tear from some of these older guys that you have on your team, the Stephs, the Jimmy, the Draymonds, like they might be gassed at the end of the game, and you're going to be relying on some of these young guys to make some big shots and big moments. And I'm still questioning whether this team can rely on these young guys for big moments and big stretches of these playoff series. That's going to be the ultimate tail of the tape for me in these coming months. They could do it in individual games against the Bucks, against the Nuggets, or against whoever they play. But in a series, that's going to be the ultimate question for me. And Anthony Slater, he joined you and Evan yesterday. Hell of an interview. Covers the team, Anthony Slater, for 95% of the game, and also The Athletic. And he mentioned the age being the reason to be skeptical, potentially, of a title run.
This has been kind of a winding season, but they found a chance to spot rest him last night. I think that'll help. But the reality is he has a marathon ahead of him if they're really going to make a deep run. And that's tough on not only his body. Jimmy Butler's 35, Draymond Green's 35. So that is what makes me the most skeptical of the idea that they're now, you know, a true title contender is just the age and accumulation that is ahead for really, you know, a two-month sprint if you're really going to get into June.
And the guy he's mentioning right there, Anthony Slater, is obviously Stephen Curry.
Yeah, but in the playoffs, you don't play every single day.
No, you don't.
You get, like, a methodical rest, and there's opportunities to kind of pace yourself through it. And the one thing that you said about Moody and Kuminga, and I think Pods didn't get the same one because they lost in the play-in. Those guys have understood what the calendar looks like in a playoff series. They did it for the year they won it all, and then the very next year when they went to the playoffs and won in the first round against the Kings and then lost to the Lakers. So they have had understanding of the calendar and how to work your body and see everyone around. Now you got to go out and do it, but that's a good chunk of your team. And GP2's been there. Like, so you're saying to me right now, I got five guys, Jimmy, Steph,
Burgers,
Draymond, GP2, and Looney. Five guys with tremendous playoff experience.
Yes.
Okay. Then I got the two youngsters who, though they aren't as, you know, experienced on the court, they were there. And there's something to be said for that,
okay,
right? And they've been a part of this traveling circus the last 4 years, because it is. I mean, the Warriors' coverage is through the roof,
yeah,
unlike other places. The Cowboys talk about this. Like, sure, you play on the Cowboys, you get covered differently. The, yeah, Lakers talk about this. And then Pajemski, I don't know. We'll see. Quinn Post, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't need all of those guys to be humming all at once. I need the top five guys that are my reliable veterans to give me what I'm expecting from them. And then I'm asking one or two of those other guys on any given night to just be solid.
All right.
Steve. But we know how this works, right? In the playoffs, what happens? Some guys become unplayable in certain series.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. So,
But the last couple years, Wiggins was one of those guys. The last couple years, Dre was one of those guys. So it can happen to your veterans, too.
Correct. And I think the Wiggins one, it was more unfortunate because he got hurt, because he was... You remember he came back from that hiatus,
yes,
in that first round against the Kings, and he was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing. And then he gets hurt in that Lakers series, and it changed everything. He had Moses Moody guarding LeBron, and it was night-night from there in Game 6 down in La La Land. Steve Kerr on yesterday, Willard Dibbs, though, he's saying, don't worry, guys. Steph was out, you know, yesterday. He'll be back today against the Toronto Raptors.
He's doing great. I mean, he's going to play tomorrow. I think, you know, I know Steph so well. He's a guy who puts his heart and soul into everything, and you almost have to protect him from himself at times. And so, that rest last night was, something that I felt really strongly about. I went to him, you know, the night before after the Denver game. He fought me on it a little bit, but I just told him, I go, look, I know you well, and you need a night off. And it's no different from a baseball player. You know, those guys play every single night, every once in a while. Hey, just take a seat and take a night off, and you know, you'll come back refreshed, and your at bats will, you know, be a little better the following night. I really feel like basketball players need that too occasionally. It's just that it's not the norm. You know, we're not supposed to do that. But screw that, we're doing it, and I think Steph needed a night off.
Again, Steve Kerr on yesterday with Willard and Dibbs. Find the entire interview on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. Was that a big deal we were talking about? Yes, like, I wasn't here yesterday, so I apologize.
What a big deal.
Steph, you know, missing the game. Like they won the game, obviously, so it was fine after that. But, like, were people going to come in really pissed off if they had lost that game and Steph didn't play?
No, I think it would have been more pissed off from the night before and how they executed down the stretch, like, okay, the Nuggets game. I think people were pissed in that game.
Okay.
Who the opponent was and how you came out playing and then how you executed down the stretch.
No Jokic, no Murray. Yeah, absolutely. But, again, it was pissed off there because you come back and Steph doesn't play the back end of a back-to-back and you squander that one. Sure, like, I just was questioning if people had a problem with Steph resting at all. Was
no.
that? No? Okay. Because he's got, like, Jimmy's going to need some rest. Draymond's going to need some rest.
Steph can do no wrong. I don't know if you know this, Joe.
Well, I don't know.
He can do no wrong.
I don't know. I mean, people just wanted to build apartment buildings where he's living at. I'm just kidding, people. I know Steph could do no wrong. He's great. He's Captain America. We love Stephen Curry. He's the best.
And he put out a new bourbon, I believe, this
week. Oh,
yeah.
Did he? He's getting... What athlete isn't involved with some sort of liqueur? Like Draymond Green has the Lobos tequila, right? Him and Braun.
If you were going to have a liquor,
Charles Woodson
what would it
has
be?
Like a bourbon.
He has wine too. Charles Woodson.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He's Chuck's
big Elevate into Your
that.
Tailgate, that's season right. one.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
What would I do? I mean, Spadoni has to go like wine, right? Like, it's just the last name. It rolls off the tongue. Nice Cabernet. Uh-huh. I don't know. I think Sauvignon.
I think you'd be more like a boxed wine.
Wow. That hurts my feelings.
Boxed in one wine.
I already know it. Like,
actually, that's a great one. Boxed in one.
That's actually
like
a
that?
Great
Let's
one.
Let's pivot. Don't panic right there. That's a good opportunity right there. You know, I'm the everyday.
Yeah.
You know who was Big Papa say that was the original Joe?
Yes.
There you go. See
so,
that.
Carter, because of his exclusivity and his financial status,
would
be some high-end bourbon, right? Served only on the rocks.
Or not on the rocks, right? Because that waters it down. You don't want anything like that.
No, if you have that, like, that super squarey,
or the
giant cube,
or the giant sphere, one or the other.
It takes up, like, 90% of the glass.
Exactly.
And he sells you the ice.
Yeah, or wine.
Or wine, there you go.
Yeah. What about Sam?
Oh, no, you tell me. I'm curious. What
no,
do you think?
He's definitely
He's waiting for me to rip him.
Hard cider. I can see that.
Hard cider?
Hard cider. Yeah, no, see? He likes some hard cider. An IPA.
That or, ooh, an
what,
IPA.
What is your
IPA.
Drink of
or
choice?
Nice stout.
No, but what is your drink of choice?
I guess it depends. Beer, wine. I mean, I'll drink
if
a lot
If I walked
things.
Up, okay, you and me. Hey, we're going to go to Keysar Pub.
No, we're going, we're going to Laughing Monk
okay,
Brewery.
Okay, there you go.
Is where we're going.
Even better. Laughing Monk Brewery. Sam, what do you want?
Well, if I'm getting a beer, my go-to is Guinness.
Really?
But if we're going to go cocktails, the whiskey I usually go to is Jameson and then mix it with something there. So those are usually some of the avenues that I'll go to if we're going into a bar to have a drink.
So are you just looking to get in a fight or like what's going on there?
I mean, I don't know. How Irish do I sound just saying
Jesus.
All that right there? Get us
I
a
mean,
Jameson.
My God.
Do you know where I'm going? I'm going to Happy Hour at Laughing Monk and I'm getting one of these cranberry mules.
The new Willie Mays.
I'm getting a good spiced pear Manhattan. Sounds delicious. A smoking plum Old Elk whiskey. Ooh, yeah. Dude,
I was thinking Sam's would be like its own signature brown bag tall boy.
Oh my God. Relax.
Like a mystery tall boy?
Just brown bagging
it. Might be
it.
Beer, it might be wine, it might be something else, who knows?
We'll see. Yeah, who is it, Zach Taylor? We'll see. We're not there yet. More from Steve Kerr on the conversation yesterday with one Stephen Curry.
Sam, I can't get Guinness with the Jameson. And like,
look at his hair!
That's a good name, though, for the bar.
He's
like,
Jewish!
That's I'm Irish, too.
He's Irish.
Irish, yes. Jewish, I'm a lot of things. Polish.
Yes! He's a mutt. We all are.
I'm a European mutt.
Yes. It's okay. Steve Kerr.
A little Italian as well.
Oh, there you go.
Jameson means you are here to like get like you don't even
you're gonna throw down, man. Let's go.
You're not dipping your toe. You're cannonballing into the bar.
It's not quite Johnny Walker Blue Label.
I mean, you might as well go straight Wild Turkey at that point.
Fireball?
No, that what are you, 22? I mean, come on. Jaeger bombs and fireballs, bro.
Yeah, come on, bro. Steve Kerr, more on his conversation he had about Steph. Interesting.
He is the absolute best guy I can imagine to coach because there's never any pretense. There's never any BS. It's so matter of fact. You know, it's just, hey, here's what I think. And then, you know, he lays out what he thinks. And we just come to a conclusion. We make a decision and we move on and we don't even look back. And I can explain it to the media exactly as it is. You know, I think there are a lot of athletes who might have been offended by me saying, hey, he needed an emotional break. Steph's not offended by that because he knows it's true. Like, and it's fine. Like, that's part of it. Performance. It's really about a series of things. It's your physical well-being, but it's also your mental and emotional capacity, where you are, what's going on in your life. Everyone needs a day off once in a while, and that's okay. And I think Steph recognizes that, and the conversation's an easy one, and we just move forward. That's why he's the most amazing guy to coach that I can even imagine.
We know, Steve. We get it. Steph's the best. He's a consummate professional. He's the go. We love some Stephen Curry, and I found his whiskey, Joe Shasky, called Gentleman's Cut. And this is what it says. The name Gentleman's Cut speaks to the art of crafting a truly fine spirit,
sir,
as well as to Curry's skillful movement on and off the court. Our limited edition whiskeys are artfully crafted and aged for the perfect layers of complexity. And I see Stephen Curry here at the brewery, at whatever the foundation of where he goes, and he's wearing his jeans, he's wearing a plain white tee, and he's wearing a gentleman's cut hat.
Does he have the giant baggy jean look, or is it the normal, like,
No, it feels like I'm watching Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
Oh.
I feel like I'm looking
at Drew Brees somewhere in the background.
Brett Favre, Drew Brees.
Stealing money from the state of Mississippi.
Stealing money from
the bag. He's got like a bag, like the old Wild Wild West, with like the dollar sign written on it, and he's just running away.
Our whiskeys are crafted to commemorate life's great occasions and will be part of a raised glass toasting moment in the lives of my fans, friends, and family.
Why can't we just say, like, with these alcohol ads, like, dude, this tastes really good and it gets you messed up?
Well, that's
awesome.
Well, because they want to cater to the refined palates, Joe Shasky. We're not refined enough to understand the nuances and complexities and layers that a gentleman's cut or some of these fancy ones exude, if you will.
It's a sipping whiskey, not a
that's
drinking
right.
whiskey.
That's right.
A sipping.
There's one they use
that's
for
like
mixing.
When people tell me, like, hey, that Don Julio, because I if I'm going to drink, I'll have the Don Julio, got to have the big bottle. You know, it's like, God, it's expensive. One or two of those shots, and I'm, like, floating. Okay?
1942.
Thank you. It's a sipping tequila. No, it's not. It's a take shots tequila. What are you talking about?
Hey, can we get Steph on here?
There's no such thing as a sipping anything.
Hey, Steph, we're giving you.
Unless you have, like, a cement tongue. What are we talking about?
Steph, I'll plug your whiskey, 888-957-9570. Just send us a bottle, man. Send us a bottle.
How do you not call it splash whiskey?
Splash.
Because every splash is probably $100.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because you get some of those, like, if you splash it, it's going to, like, get everywhere. We can't be wasting
that.
It's gentleman's cut. Because you know what? When I think gentleman, I do think Steph Curry. That's a great name for it. I'm going to be honest. I can't get enough of them wearing this, like, Carhartt hat and the T-shirt and everything.
Steph, the last guy that I would think of wearing Carhartt is Steph Curry.
You're up in Carolina, right?
Could you imagine him showing up to the job site wearing all Carhartt? That's a funny visual.
It's
is it not?
Well, it's like,
hey, guys, I'm here.
Who was it?
What do you want me to do? Well, sweep over there, Steph.
KD was, like,
on the hard hat. That is just all time.
Wearing the vest.
Just all time.
In the glasses.
I had to work with my Uncle Matt last week. We were helping my mother-in-law. They had to put the earthquake straps on, and he's got the overalls and everything.
Right.
And I showed up in sweatpants and, like, my rattiest shoes and my ratty sweatshirt or whatever. But every time I work with a real construction worker and someone who's, you know, my uncle's one of the best plumbers that I know. I mean, he's incredible.
For sure.
I always feel like I'm that KD meme. I feel like that guy helping him. He's like, get me that Phillips. And I know what a Phillips is. I know what a flathead is. I know what all those things
Allen
are.
Wrench.
You know, but I'm his gopher. Like, gopher that. Go grab me this. Go get me that. But I always feel like KD in that meme with the construction hat, because I don't know what any of them are doing.
Really? Because I feel like you would exude, like, you're a working man, Joe Shasky, when you need to be. I feel like Golden State Lumber, you can, like, you've built fences, you've done some handy work.
Poorly.
Right? What?
I will assist those who know what they're doing.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
Enough.
But like, right. I don't consider myself like a hands-on type of
like individual. You can hang up like a curtain.
So for example,
something.
The cabinet in the kitchen. Okay, we have cabinets in the kitchen. It got taken off of its hinge, and the hinge is broken.
Okay.
I bought new hinges on Amazon, and my buddy Sean, who's a great contractor, is like, dude, you just do this, and you do that, and then you do this, and it's good. And I'm like, yeah, I tried that. It's not working. And so now I'm kind of scared to call him back. Like, can you come over to my house and fix this hinge on this cabinet and put it back?
I have no qualms of doing that and just admitting I'm not a good handyman
at all. But this is where my dad did all that stuff.
Right. Like, my dad,
you know? Dad, I miss you. He did all that for me.
My dad didn't. We were lucky enough to have, like, a family friend that, like, knew how to do all this stuff. So he would just come over and do it. And they lived, like, right down
Tim
the street
the
from
man us. Taylor?
Like, basically, because my dad was working two jobs. So he would never be home to fix any of that stuff. And my mom, she had an at-home business, so she was busy there. So, yeah. I learned nothing of that. I learned changing my oil for my older brother. I learned to drive for my older brother too.
Nice.
And I also learned about Fast Five as well. Carter, did you learn that too?
Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Your voice could use an oil change. That is for sure.
So,
Carter,
here's my final thought. As we're talking about, you know, this person helped me do this and that. This is why I know what I'm good at.
What are you good at?
Blabbing.
Just talking?
Yeah, and coaching and things like that. Like, those are my chosen professions. That's my calling. My calling is not hanging pictures perfectly square on the wall. And I've told that to my wife. I will pay the professionals to do it the right way. And I'm extremely appreciative of their skill and their craftsmanship.
If you got to pull out that leveler thing.
Dude, my boy Rocco is meticulous.
What are we doing?
My boy Rocco's meticulous with hanging it. And he's really good at it. But like, I feel guilty because I'm like, hey, can you help me with this, that? And like, I'm asking another grown man to do it. But you know what? I also am man enough to realize he's freaking great at it. And I will compensate him for his help. I got a buddy, Rory, for example. He's an electrician. So, dude, could you go to my mom's house and could you fix the light? And he fixed the light. My mom took care of him, gave him money. I was like, dude, Rory, thank you so much. Pay the professionals. Be appreciative. Don't be cheap. Tip them. And it's not just pay them appropriately and tip them and thank them. It's so when you have the next issue, they think fondly of you.
That's a good question. When is it appropriate to tip with certain things like that? Like, I know people that like tip mechanics. I was like, I'm already paying you an arm and a leg. I don't think I'm tipping you on top of that. Like that. Like, that's one of them. Like, handyman, am I supposed to like tip them on top of them?
Well, I take care of them. So, like, for example, my uncle, we got him Morgan Wallen tickets to go to Levi Stadium.
Okay.
I think that's a great gift, is it not?
Sure.
Yeah, bro. Morgan Wallen? Expensive.
Okay.
Expensive.
Country artist, I'm assuming?
It's a sipping concert. Okay. That's how expensive
it's
is.
It's a gentleman's cut kind of a concert?
It's a gentleman's cut concert.
All right. All right. That's a deep
financially.
Cut.
But Uncle Matt, Morgan Wallen tickets coming your way.
Okay.
August 2nd, Saturday night.
Can't
prime
wait.
Time, baby.
Can't wait. Sam Lubman.
Yeah, Giants fans, get something to write with because I got some bobblehead dates for you. The Giants announced a lot of their promotions yesterday. April 5th, Matt Chapman Gold Glove bobblehead, the first 15,000 fans. 1,000 of those fans, though, will get a bobblehead that is dipped in gold. So if you're one of those people who loves gold, that'll be a fun one for you to get.
It's not dipped in gold.
It is dipped in gold.
Gold paint?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
July 12th, Barry Bonds bobblehead day. Gotta get that one.
I mean, when are they going to do the statue? What are we doing?
They're working on it, I'm sure.
Okay.
July 26th, Steph Curry bobblehead day.
Oh,
that'll be a fun one to get.
Interesting.
And then August 17th.
Your team is so boring, you had to go to the basketball team.
Well, it's part of the Bay Area Unite initiative. And then August 17th, Elliot Ramos bobblehead day. I wonder if McCovey Cove Dave was okay with that. So,
what do you mean?
Well, you know, you remember McCovey Cove Dave said that, you know, Elliot didn't earn his splash hit ball last year. I wonder if McCovey Cove Dave feels like he earned
that guy
his
needs to take like a serious deep breath.
Wait,
McCovey Cove Dave, what a dork!
Wait, earn his splash hit?
So last year, Elliot Ramos hit a splash hit.
Yes.
He's the first righty to hit a splash hit.
Get over
McCovey
yourself.
Cove Dave got the ball, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to keep it because I don't think he earned it.
Okay.
To earn the right to get it back." So I'm curious if you know he feels the same way about Elliot's bobblehead.
Oh.
I could have delivered that better.
No. I completely remember, like, again, that was one of the fact that that was a moment in the Giants season last year tells you all you need to know. Carter, can you power through a final thought?
Oh, yeah, I'll power through. I'm wishing all my luck to all the underdogs today in the two best days of sports.
Tell me your throat?
Yeah.
One of the underdogs, your throat?
I guess to my
your vocal cords?
Yeah.
You know my guy had a great time in 100%. Cabo for his bachelor party.
Missed 3 days of work, came back, and still sounded awful.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Monday was like dying.
I love you, Carter.
Oh, God. The chat was on fire when he said he was going to be out for a few days.
Well, here I am, and I'm happy to be back. Thanks.
Well, the good thing is that rash on your body really cleared up.
Oh, no.
Rash, bruises, scrapes, you name it.
His throat sounds like it has a rash right now. My final thought? Just
be good to each other?
No, just why are we... Leave Jonathan commit. Just back off. Please, just back off. You're fine. Team's fine. Won the game.
Okay.
He's going to be okay.
All right.
All right? Can we all agree on that? Jonathan Kuminga is going to be okay, guys. All right, you don't need to live and die with a Jonathan Kuminga box score every single game. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Stanley and Guru are next. Jason Timpf of the Volume Network going to be joining them, and it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.